Welcome to Just Friends, the podcast where one woman who is all that in a bag of chips and one man who is hella fly watch Friends for the first time ever. I'm Becca.
I'm Chris.
And this week we watched, oh shit.
The one with the jellyfish?
Yeah, the one with the jellyfish.
Season 4, episode 1.
Of Friends, and of Just Friends, this podcast.
What the dated references, is that just for fun?
Well, let me paint you a picture. This episode came out in September 1997. So September 25th, 1997, to be specific.
I remember it well.
And those are some of the hot phrases of 1997, in case you don't remember.
I remember those phrases. I guess they were hot at some point.
I'll tell you a little bit more about what is happening in September 1997.
Please do.
Princess Diana has just died.
Ooh.
Yeah, August.
Wah.
Yeah, but seriously, that was a huge thing. So just to put you back in the time when, you know, you're watching this Friends episode for the first time ever in the time when it's being aired.
Everything's going great.
Princess Diana is now dead.
American economy is roaring.
Candle in the Wind ends up being one of the top songs of the year.
Sure.
And actually, at this time, Honey by Mariah Carey is the top song.
Good for her.
Mm-hmm. Barbie Girl, I'll Be Missing You. These are some of the other big songs of 1997.
Barbie Girl by Aqua.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great First Amendment court decision if anyone wants any light reading in their free time.
And people in
Ninth Circuit.
People
Judge Kaczynski.
September, really? The real Judge Kaczynski?
Yeah, the one who eventually retired early because he had some
personal
some conflicts with staff.
People in September 1997, they're watching this Friends episode, but they have no idea that later that year, Titanic will be released.
They might have no idea.
I mean, in September, probably a little idea.
I mean, they must have almost like wrapped shooting. It's probably, in the...
Yeah, but most people will have no idea. The people who are watching Friends, they're like, I'm just watching this show. They don't know that their world's about to change. Yeah.
Titanic does not hold up.
Also, a lot has happened since Friends has been on break this year. To me,
in their timeline?
In their timeline, yeah. So Friends probably goes on break in like May, something like that. And Timothy McVeigh is found guilty, June 1997.
Change America.
Also, September 1997, Mother Teresa dies.
Yeah.
Oh.
Whatever. I'm not a fan of forceful conversion on your deathbed. So I'm not a fan of hers.
Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion also comes out in 1997. So
now we're talking.
Yeah, Phoebe's kind of on top, or not Phoebe, but
Lisa Kudrow.
Yeah, Lisa Kudrow. And that's pretty much all I have for 1997. I mean, for me personally, 1997, great year. I probably peaked in terms of Plattsburgh terms. I mean, 13 is as old as it gets.
I mean, you're almost past your prime.
Plattsburgh being my really, really backward hometown.
I mean, 97, great year for music. The 1997 Spotify playlist, lots of hits.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a real winner.
So this episode was directed by Shelley Jones, another lady director. Shout out.
You're not a lady director.
Well, just shout out to my lady director.
All ladies.
And then it's written by a couple of men. I didn't really write down their names. A couple of scribbles here. Will and Sam. Will and Sam, they got this episode.
Thanks, Will and Sam. We'll never forget you.
So it opens on a Joey recap where the episode?
Yeah, I mean, he's like laying on the beach.
Yeah, he's laying on the beach and he's trying to remember what happened in the last episode because, for most people, this is like a whole season break, everything. And he kind of remembers, like, that's his whole shtick, is he's like, and then this happened, and then this happened.
Well, I guess the joke is that they left all of the stories unresolved. And he's like, Phoebe thought this woman, you know, might be your mother. But I don't really know what happened with that, because, like, nothing did happen with that. And then, you know, it's like Chandler thought he, you know, was angry that Monica wouldn't date someone like him. And I don't remember what happened with that, because, like, nothing did happen with, like, nothing happened yeah. with any of this. And they're like, you know, and then Ross had to pick which room he went in. And I don't know what happened with that. So, yeah, that was the joke, was that nothing was resolved.
Mm-hmm. So then they move to the actual episode, and Rachel is helping Bonnie, like, grease up her head, like, put some aloe on it, because Bonnie's head got sunburned.
Well, yeah, Ross goes into a room. You know, in the last episode, he opens a room. You just hear him go, hey. And then you don't know who he's talking to. And then this
turns
one.
Turns out it's Bonnie.
It's both. It's both. It's Rachel and Bonnie.
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, when he opens the room, it's both of them?
Yeah, in this episode. Oh, the previous episode, he totally you open it, and he just goes, hey. And you yeah. don't know. Like, that's the whole cliffhanger. It's like, which room did he? Because, you know, there's two rooms. One's Bonnie, one's yeah. Rachel. And then this one, they're like, oh, it's both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it was annoying. Rachel's room.
True. Not that it matters.
I mean.
I guess it does. So he goes in there and he's like, you know, hey, guys, it's Ross, whatever. And Bonnie is like I said, getting her head greased up. And Ross is like, oh, Bonnie, I'll meet you in the bedroom in a minute, whatever. And then he and Rachel start making out hardcore. And she's like, oh, my God, how can we keep doing this? He's like, I've got to break up with Bonnie. She's like, okay, sounds good. You just do that. Well, actually, she does try to talk him out of it.
Yeah, a little. There's some banter.
Yeah,
she's
like,
remember.
Oh, you know, can't you just stay here and forget about Bonnie? He's like, I have to do the right thing. I was like, wow, Ross, good for you. Like, actually kind of doing the right thing. I mean, he's still being a total asshole on this vacation, but whatever.
Yeah.
So he goes and he presumably goes to Bonnie's room.
Well, he does break up. And then he comes yeah. back and he's like, it's done.
Yeah, he's all like, all right, I'm ready to bone now. And he does look pretty rough. I don't know if it's like makeup or lack of makeup or whatever yeah. it is, but he does actually look rough.
It was supposed to be like 5 a.m. and it did look like it.
Yeah. So he had been like breaking up with Bonnie all night, like, you know, talking with her, blah, blah, blah.
You know what I mean?
Not in the sexy way, I think. And he even said to Rachel, he's like, it's done, but it was long. And she's like, okay, great. And he's like leaning in like, all right, now we're going
to
smooch. Yeah. And Rachel's like, I have a letter for you. And he's like, what?
Good, Rachel.
What the fuck is this? So he takes the letter and she's like, it is like just some of my thoughts. And he's like, okay, cool. Like, so we'll read this later. And she's like, you got him.
When he goes in for another smooch and yeah. she backs away again and yeah. he's like, oh, all right, I'll read it.
Yeah.
I'm
and
Ross.
He's like, I'll read this 18 pages front and back.
Spoiler alert. That joke comes back.
Yeah. And Rachel's like, great. So who do you think is crazier here? Ross, who goes off and like breaks up with his girlfriend for hours, and then upon that finishing, goes to Rachel's room to, I don't know, get some? Or Rachel, who has stayed up all night writing a letter, being like, you know, she's pretty amped up in this time, and then gives the letter to Ross when he comes to the room?
I mean, are we assuming that she wrote it during this time period? I mean, I guess
she must have, right?
Yeah.
I think she even says something to that effect, like, I've been writing a letter.
I mean, I guess I think Rachel's crazier. I mean, I think Ross is crazy for pretending that he's going to read it right then. Like, you know, I would have been like, I'll sleep on the floor. Like, I don't care if I'm not in a woman's bed tonight.
Yeah. In Ross's fine. Defense, though, he has, like, just done all of this stuff in order to get with Rachel, right? Like, he's trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, but I mean, there's just no way he's gonna like read a, you know, 36 page thing and then come back and talk about it and yeah. then bone at what, like 10:30 in the morning.
Yeah, actually that's a good point.
Yeah, so like it was crazy to suggest that he was gonna do it then.
Yeah, I guess if I were Ross, I probably would have tried to just go to sleep right then.
Yes, that's the right move.
And like, okay, like let's just like sleep in bed together, you know, cuddle.
Yeah, he could maybe get that out, you know, yeah. just be like, you know, I don't want to do anything. Like, I'm very tired. It's mm-hmm. 5 whatever in the morning.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, have the letter right there when he wakes up in the morning.
Yeah. You got to have it, you know, you wake up, you're refreshed, you got some coffee, some food in you, you're feeling great. Not now.
That's not what Ross does, though. As Chris alluded to, he pretends like he's going to read the letter.
Well, he doesn't. I think he thinks he's going to, but he falls asleep while doing it.
Right. Sure. Almost immediately, I think, because he has, like, read none of the letter. And Rachel comes out and she's like, you know, like, oh, you read the letter. And he's like, oh, totally. I loved it. It was beautiful. All 36 pages, which is more of a Trump than a Ross.
Yeah.
And
bad Ross.
And she says, like, oh, okay. And it does. He's like, it does, huh? Like, he's obviously confused.
She says, like, does it?
And does it.
And he's like, does it? You know. It's like, does it? You know, and then just kind of hems and haws. It's very clear he doesn't know what she's talking about.
Until he says it does.
Well, then he's... Well, first he tries to stall. About. He's like, oh, you know, I was reading it real thoroughly two times. And then she asked, you know, does it? And he's like, oh, I think I need... one more pass at the does it part.
Yeah, she gets all,
like,
flustered.
Yeah, she's like, what? You read it twice and you don't know if it does? And he's like, oh, no. He's like, you know, I thought about more and it does? And she's like, oh, it does.
And he's happy. Yeah. And she's happy. And everybody's happy because it does.
Because Ross is a liar. I can't believe he's already lying right now.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, man,
even if in that moment he woke up and was like, I pass out, I didn't read any of it, like, that would probably, you know, for a normal person outside of a sitcom would be fine.
Yeah, but it's true, like, he's starting off this relationship that he's been craving, that he is breaking up with somebody on vacation for, and then he's starting out with a lie.
Classic Ross.
Yeah, that's fucked up, actually.
So toxic.
Mm-hmm. So then Ross and Rachel, they're, like, together, or they're, like, canoodling, blah, blah, blah. And Ross actually reads the letter.
Oh, yeah. Rachel has to go, like, finish packing, and he's alone with the letter finally.
Yeah, and he's like, all right, got some time, I'm going to read this letter, see what I'm talking about here. And he realizes that Rachel wants him to take full responsibility for everything that happened in their relationship. That, like, you know, it's all the breakup, everything, it's his fault.
Mm-hmm.
And he reads the letter and he tells Rachel, like, guess what? It doesn't.
Well, he keeps it hidden for a little while. Like, well, he says that to himself at first. And then, you know, he tells Joey and Chandler, like, she wants me to do all this, blah, blah, blah. We were on our break. And then Rachel brings it up later when they were canoodling in bed. And she's like, oh, you know, you've grown so much. I can't believe you took responsibility for all that stuff. Like, you know, you've really changed. And, you know, Ross is feeling more and more uneasy. Just, you know, like, you know, sure, whatever, whatever, anything for you, Rachel. And eventually she keeps pushing and he just screams, we were on a break.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
it all falls apart.
They get into a huge fight about that.
So when he is talking to his friends about it doesn't, he, like, even they seem like, what are you talking about, Ross? Like, you know, you did do all this stuff. Like, he's like, oh, and she wants me to admit that, like, I slept with somebody. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's not getting a lot of sympathy.
Yeah, and they're like, but you want to be with Rachel, right? He's like, yeah. They're like, okay, then whatever. Whatever it is, just say it. They get it. They get the rules of being a man.
And that Ross is terrible.
Yeah, and that Ross is terrible. So then it's, like, pretty much just, like, a complete Ross-Rachel meltdown. Rachel, like, when Ross is, like, still holding it in, like Chris said, she's, like, all canoodling with him. And she's like, oh, you know, I'm just so happy everything has worked out. Like, this is great. My mom said, like, once a cheater, always a cheater. Like, she said it wouldn't work out. And then he breaks down. I don't have it written down in my notes, but he does break down. That's, like, where he breaks down.
Well, that's when he yells, we were on a break.
Yeah. And then, you know, they get into this big fight. I wrote down the quote, fine by me. Oh, yeah, because that was so funny. When that was actually one of the funnier moments that Ross has.
Oh, yeah. When Rachel says, like, you know, like, that's it. Like, we are no longer together. Like, we are broken up again. Like, it's over. And he goes, fine by me. Yeah. Yeah, he, like, feigns heartbreak for a second. Well, yeah. then she says something about, like, you know, like have fun, like, you know, getting to sleep alone or something. He's like, oh, I'll sleep real well. I still have a copy of your letter. And I wrote that, you know, Ross and Rachel breaking up is the best part, is the only good part of
Ross and Rachel. But you know what that means.
That they're just going to be like, oh, you guys, does Rachel still like me?
Yeah.
I'm Ross.
I think I'm in love with Ross.
I want to date again, but I also want to dwell on Ross.
Yeah, so it just means that the rest of the show is going to be more of this. So we have a whole other season. Like, they only let Ross and Rachel get together for, like, a hot second. Like, that's the formula of Friends. They're like, oh, it's the end of the season? Good. Ross and Rachel, they're together, so then everybody has something to look forward to for season whatever. And now we're in season whatever, and they're breaking up again.
And whatever. Yeah. I feel like, you know, isn't that just the whole, like, they all just kind of shuffle amongst each other? So I guess this is just a...
It's just Ross and Rachel.
Yeah, so far.
I mean, the whole Monica Chandler thing, which we know to be true.
We do?
Yeah, I mean, they talk about it in 30 Rock.
Oh, I mean, I forget. I know that he says stuff about the show to the Bulgarian guy or whatever. I don't remember what he said.
Okay, well, that's really impressive, Chris. You really have shut out all Friends references from your life. So sorry to spoil it for you.
I mean, I probably would have figured it out eventually.
Yeah. Well, I think this is how they're setting it up. So in this episode, Chandler and Monica are, like, continuing on with their whole Chandler is like, I'm not dateable thing. Yeah. And Monica ends up getting stung by a jellyfish, because I'm really just going to fast forward through this whole plot line because it's super weird to me. In fact, they spent way too much time on it. Mm-hmm. So Monica gets stung by a jellyfish. She, Chandler, and Joey are down by the water. Joey has built, like, a big...
Just dug. He didn't build anything.
Yeah, build. Dug a huge hole into the ground. You know, water comes into it. Monica gets stung by a jellyfish. And Joey's like, well, you know what you have to do? Pee on it. And this becomes, like, a real whole mini plot line where somebody pees on it. I think it ends up being Chandler, actually. Chandler pees on it because Monica can't twist right. Joey apparently gets a...
Stage fright.
Stage fright. And everybody, like, all of their other friends are like, what happened by the beach? Tell us what happened by the beach. Because they're being all shady about it. It's like, okay, somebody peed on you. First of all, not what you should do for a jellyfish sting. That will do nothing for you.
Is that true?
Yes, that's true.
What are you supposed to do?
Go to the lifeguard station.
And they pee on you?
Yes. Only lifeguard pee will help you.
I mean, you know, they have a special electrolyte mixture that they're drinking all day. You know, it's not outside the realm of possibility.
It is. They will have the real thing that can help you. There's not enough ammonia in pee to help you. If there is, there's something wrong with you.
I mean, I guess if you have nothing else, should you use pee?
If you have nothing else, pee will also do nothing for you.
I mean,
all you're doing is peeing on someone. That's it. It's not helping you.
Maybe. I mean, okay. Depending on what you're into.
That's outside of a jellyfish sting.
That might distract you from the pain.
Okay. So when they get back, like, Monica's like, I need a shower.
Well, then they're all like, oh, I need a shower. They all three of them say they need a shower.
Yeah.
Just, you know, they're dirty pee fetish.
Mm-hmm. And that's that plot line. So then the other plot line is...
Well, they eventually, like, disclose. Like, they all break down.
Yeah, but it's all so stupid. It's like,
They all break down. They tell the story.
Yeah, and everyone is like, ew, oh my God, pee, what?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And the last plot line...
And I would call this the second plot line, really.
The second biggest.
Yeah. So Phoebe's birth mom, you know, blew her off, blah, blah, blah. So Phoebe and her birth mom start talking again. And Phoebe's birth mom, it turns out, only became Phoebe's birth mom because of a teenage throuple, I'm understanding that correctly.
Yes, teenage love triangle.
Yeah. So she pretty much said, like, oh, we were all, like, hooking up, and then suddenly I got pregnant, and then, like, I thought I was leaving you with good parents, blah, blah, blah. She tells Phoebe, she's like, you know what it was like to be, like, 18, right? Phoebe's like, yeah. When I was 18, my mom was dead by suicide.
Your dad had run off, and she was living in a car with...
A gremlin.
In a gremlin with, like, Seth or something, who... I forget what he did.
I don't know.
Something weird.
He didn't have hands or something. You know, just another, like, tidbit into Phoebe's dark life. So Phoebe comes back to the, like, beach house, and she's saying, you know, what happened? She's like, oh, it turns out that my mom's friend, Phoebe, is my birth mom. And all the men look to Monica to see how she'll react first for the news. And then Monica's just like, what? And Chandler's like, I found a seahorse.
A dried-up seahorse.
Yeah. Which I think emphasizes, I don't know, like, female ladies? Relationships or something. Yeah, exactly. Because then Phoebe does go. She's like, I just need to be by myself right now. She walks away. And then as she walks away, she's like, Monica, let's go.
Yeah, I guess it might just be that. Like, the men are like, what do we do? Emotions.
Emotions. I'm scared.
I'm scared. Somebody pee.
Anybody got a fart joke to tell?
It's a real Chandler line.
What's your favorite? No, that's terrible.
What?
That was more like Bozo. So then Phoebe, you know, processes this whole thing, and she goes and tells Ursula, her twin sister, about it. And Ursula already knows. She's like, oh, yeah, the woman who lives out in Montauk. Phoebe's like, what? You know about that? And this part's actually kind of funny where she, like, it's like.
She references a suicide note, and Phoebe's like, there's a note? She's like, oh, she's like, well, get it. And she's like, oh, 1 second. And she clearly goes and writes a note, be like, Phoebe and Ursula, I miss you both. I live in Montauk. Your real mom lives in Montauk. She's like, you just wrote this right now.
So Phoebe's mom, like, comes to, I think Phoebe has, like, decided, like, she's like, she has a big speech. Like, I'm going to walk out on you right now when she's still in Montauk.
Yeah, she's like, I never want to see you again, blah, blah, blah.
And Phoebe's mom comes to where Phoebe works in the city. So as you guys know from last episode, going from Montauk into Manhattan, very long trip. So this does mean a lot. So she goes into, you know, whatever, West Village, wherever she is. And she tells Phoebe how much she regrets giving Phoebe up, that, you know, she didn't know. And they start talking about, like, how much they have in common. Like, they both like pizza and
puppies.
Yeah. And all of these, like, super, super common things. The Beatles, I think, was one of them.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Well, they're clearly, you know, creating some kind of relationship. They go out to dinner.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm hungry. She's like, so am I. Like, oh, that's so weird.
Oh my God. So much in common.
Yeah. And that's where that ends up with them somewhat starting a relationship.
I do have one more comment about Monica and Chandler. She's like, well, no matter what happens, you'll always be the guy who peed on me. Like, so we can't get together.
Mm-hmm.
So. Spoiler alert.
Okay. Sure.
Oh, but do you have anything else to say about the episode?
Oh, no. Chandler's hair was terrible.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was a great point.
It was like a proto Caesar before they had hammered out the issues with it or something. It was terrible.
And in the sun, it looked even worse. It was like all blonde streaks.
I prefer the front ramp, which I never thought I'd say.
And I can't believe how much Friends had an impact on the male hair fashion, because I see all of these haircuts and I'm like, I remember people having these.
Yeah. I mean, and plus hearing these super popular phrases that apparently originated with the show. It's also very incredible.
Explains a lot of my life. How did you feel about the episode actually coming back?
You know, I hate Ross and Rachel generally, so not a great foot to lead with.
Well, them right now, you must be happy.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, when they were screaming at each other, breaking up, that was one of the funnier Ross and Rachel related moments. But, like, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of Joey. Phoebe's plot line was pretty serious. I mean, even Chandler didn't get to make any terrible Chandler jokes. So I don't know. True. I feel like it was missing a lot of
key
Friends
parts
elements
yeah
that make the show the show.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have to be thumbs up or down, I'm going down on this one.
Me too.
What did you think?
Pretty much the same as you. Like, it feels like just a bridge episode in order to get back into the season, where they're kind of like just, you know, forcing a lot of things in just to keep things moving. Like, obviously this Chandler Monica thing's gonna happen. We're never gonna meet Chandler's gay dad.
I mean, never say never.
I mean, I don't think so.
Yeah, but it did seem like an excuse to just sort of like get Ross and Rachel back together, and then you're like, oh my god, now they're broken up again. Wow.
Yeah.
Whiplash.
No, I want them to be together.
Is it time for Friends News?
Friends News. Friends News. So, China, a website called Bilibili, has recently gotten Friends, but, you know, China being China, has plenty of censorship. They apparently take out any scenes or language related to homosexuality or sex.
Must be.
Yeah, so it's just
11-minute episodes.
Very short episodes. So they've got...
Chandler doesn't have a dad in this version. He's a bastard.
So they've got a clip that I'll send to you, but it's when Ross is telling his parents about his wife being a lesbian.
Oh yeah.
When, like, Monica is, like, forcing it because she wants, like, Ross to, you know, be taken down. Mm-hmm. And it's just like Ross saying, I've got something to tell you guys. And then the next moment is, can you believe it? Like, it's like all done.
They don't, you know.
Yeah.
Punch in some overdubbed.
Which must be very confusing. Yeah. That's what I thought they would do, is be like, my wife is now not my wife. You know, something like that.
Or have just like a text, like a tile screen. Yeah,
but they just says, cut it all out.
And Ross's wife died that day. Mm-hmm. That's pretty funny.
So sometimes they do overdub, like when Joey recommends that a lovelorn Ross, recently left by his wife, goes to a strip joint. His advice is translated as encouraging Ross to go out and have fun, which, you know, pretty much.
I wonder what the overdub is. Is it like a, do they pay Matt LeBlanc or do they get, you know, some voice synthesis?
Yeah, I'm sure it's more of that. In another episode, a reference to multiple orgasms is turned into a comment about women having endless gossip.
Same thing to me.
Yeah. Ladies heaven. So that's the Friends News.
Pretty hot and juicy.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you have a Courtney Cox?
Well, this is bonus Friends News. Courtney Cox has realized that she does look different as a result of her plastic surgery.
The whole point.
Which Chris told me is not news. And I said, that's news.
No, and you didn't get the joke. Everyone already knows this because we have eyes and can see this. Tough break, Courtney. All right, is it time for Friends Trivia?
Friends Trivia.
It's time for Friends Trivia.
Okay, you're in luck this week, Chris. It is 1997 trivia.
Oh boy.
Which one of these department stores closed for good in 1997? The Bon Ton, Hills Department Store, Montgomery Ward, or F.W. Woolworths and Company?
Not the Bon Ton, because I'm pretty sure my aunt worked at a Bon Ton and they existed past 97. What was Woolworths, Montgomery Ward, and what was the other one?
Hills Department Store. Stores, actually.
I mean, I don't fucking know. Woolworths.
That's correct.
I know. I think because my sister worked at one and then they changed names. I think that they got bought out or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I got it right.
Yes. All right. In 1997, these two teams played in the Super Bowl. The Cowboys and the Steelers. The Packers and the Patriots. The 49ers and the Chargers. Or the Broncos and the Packers.
97. Was it Cowboys and who were the first ones?
Steelers.
Steelers. Were they any good? The last one, the Broncos.
That's incorrect. It was the Packers and the Patriots. The Packers actually defeated the Patriots.
Whoa.
Because it was still a good time.
Was Tom Brady around then?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I guess he wouldn't have been.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. I still got a chance to turn things around.
Yeah. This is pretty exciting. In 1997, the sexiest man alive was George Clooney, Will Smith, Brad Pitt, or Tom Cruise.
Ugh, those are all very plausible.
Very sexy men.
97, I don't know, Brad Pitt.
Ooh. Oh.
What is it? Is it Will Smith?
No.
Is it Tom Cruise?
No.
What? Who's the other one?
George Clooney.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I don't know, whatever.
I'm sorry. That's a good sad noise. You need a really...
Are you guys hearing this out there?
That's the sound of Chris's heart breaking.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sound of another loss and another win for me. Where's my victory noise? No, I'll make my own. I want a victory sound for me. Wait, hold on. Do you not even have a victory noise built into that?
That's the correct sound.
Yeah, but your ultimate victory noise.
No. It's just me yelling when I win.
Okay, well, that's it for this week. Tune in whenever we get a chance to do this.
Tune in, turn on, drop out. R.I.P. Timothy Leary.
And you can catch us on just.friends.podcast, where we will post when we do post an episode.
That's on Instagram. We're not on TikTok.
Not yet.
I'm too old.
I'm also too old.
I was kicked off.
I mean, I'm pretty young, but I'm too old for TikTok.
Wait, wrong noise. Tell your friends.